Okay, yeah, as Bruce was saying, it's been a pretty intense week. Mark called me this morning. Mark usually does the hosting here, and Mark, as I think most of you know, is battling hepatitis C, and he's taking interferon treatments, which have so wiped him out. He just called this morning and said, I want to be here, I just can't make it, though. So Mark is battling the hepatitis C that he really got from sticking a needle in his arm. And then we've had at least three people that I know relapse this week that have been in detox. And then I came in, there was a woman Friday night at R&R who'd been punched in the face, broke the orbital bone around her eye, face all swollen up. And then I came into my office this morning here at church, and there's a red flashing light on the answer machine, and there's a woman I talked to a week or so ago whose daughter, 21-year-old daughter, is hooked on cocaine, heroin. She's bulimic, and she's also a cutter. And the message on the phone was, my daughter tried to commit suicide last night. She's in the hospital. Would you please call me? So after church today, I'm going to be getting in touch with her and seeing what kind of help I can be. The point is, and this is life and death stuff we're in. This is not a joke. Kevin's always says, Kevin, if I misquote you, this is not a dress rehearsal. Your life is not a dress rehearsal. This is the real deal. People are relapsing. People are dying. People are struggling with hepatitis C because of the very kinds of things that I think everybody or most of the people in this room have spent so long battling. And we need to take this as a life and death thing. It's not just fun and games. So that's kind of been my week, and looking forward to the day of this afternoon, this wonderful 21-year-old girl who's now tried to take her life. Okay? And probably some of you, I know I have, been in that place where you just kind of feel it's not even worth it. Why should I bother to go on? There's no hope. Well, we're here today to tell you there is hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in the God who can help you to overcome whatever obstacle may be in your way and can help you to do what might otherwise seem to be impossible and what otherwise is impossible apart from the love and the power of God. Okay, and that's why we're here today, is to preach a message of hope to you. So if you've come here today and you are struggling, you're thinking of relapse, and you possibly are even thinking of taking your life, the message that we're here to tell you is Jesus Christ can help you with whatever you're going through. Okay. Now let me ask you what I always call the teacher's most painful question is, who remembers what we talked about last week? Yeah, and for those of you who weren't here, obviously you're off the hook. And those of you who weren't sure if you were here last week, that old Beatles song about reality is what happens while you're making other plans. And most of the time when I was on drugs, I was not living in reality. I was always making other plans. But who remembers, what were we talking about last week? Aaron? Feast? Feeding the multitudes? What's often called feeding of the 5,000, though it was really 5,000 men plus women and children. So we're probably talking 10 to 15 thousand people. Sometimes it's called the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, or as I told you, because they belong to a little boy, somebody thought it was the miracle of the boy who loafs and fishes. Okay. Where Jesus supernaturally takes a little bit of stuff and multiplies it in order to minister to a huge, huge crowd. You perhaps remember Jesus said to Philip, you know, how are we going to buy this bread, or how are we going to buy this food? And it says that he did that to test him. That's kind of where things started off. This was a test. And what was being tested? Yeah, we talked about last, every time you get in a trial, every time I get in a trial, it's really a test. You're taking a test. And some of God's tests are pretty rough. Okay, I used to be a math teacher. Okay. And I wanted the kids to learn the stuff. And so I would give them tests, and then I would do horrible things from their standpoint. I'd give them things like pop quizzes. Right. review tests. We'd gone through decimals, ratios and proportions, percents, and then I'd go back and give them some other test on stuff we'd done earlier in the year to see if they had really learned it. Well, I've got news for you. God is the master of the pop quiz. He's the master of the review test. You may have think that you've learned a lesson, but then another situation will come up where God's going to say, have you really learned it? Is it really deeply within you? Has your faith really grown? Has your dependence on God really grown? And we're going to find out that after Jesus feeds the 5,000, he feeds this huge crowd, he's going to give the disciples a pop quiz to see if they have learned what he has just been showing them. You can depend on me. You can count on me. I can meet your every need. Okay. This one, I'm sure most of you have heard of this. Jesus walks on water. Anybody not heard of that story by chance? Jesus is going to walk on water. This, if you have your Bible, you can look it out on the screen, or if you prefer, you can read it in your Bible. John chapter 6, starting at about verse 16. It says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum, a little city. By now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. Now this story, this event, is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and John. And John gives us probably the sketchiest view of what's going on. So I'm going to bring some other things in so you can hopefully understand it. This crowd has come. They have actually, we found out a little earlier in John, they have said, we want you to be king. After Jesus fed them, they said, this is our guy. This is like our permanent free lunch ticket. This is the guy we want to have around as king. And Jesus realizes, first of all, they're only after physical food. And he also realizes it's the wrong time for him to be proclaimed as king. However, let's say we had 10 or 15,000 people and they were all clamoring for you to be king or you to be queen. I say 15,000 people are all saying, Lane is our king! Lane is our king! Kevin is our king! Well, most of us would probably go, yeah, it's about time somebody finally noticed, you know. But Jesus knew it was the wrong time. The time that he should be announced as king was really what's called Palm Sunday. It says, behold your king riding on a donkey. It was in the future, plus the people were after it for the wrong reason. And it appears that the apostles were getting swept up in it. Here's this big crowd going, make Jesus king, make Jesus king. And it may be that the apostles are going, yeah, this is finally the time. So Jesus says to them, to the apostles, I want you guys to hop in a boat and you sail back where we just came from earlier in the day. And I'm going to dismiss the crowd and then I'm going to go up onto a mountain and pray because I want to make sure that I really hear God's voice in the midst of this. Okay? So the disciples hop in a boat. The evening came. The disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat. Jesus is telling them to get into the boat and to sail across the lake while he stays behind. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been in that position where you wish to follow Jesus and you're being obedient to Jesus and you take off and what do you encounter? A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. Do you think it's easy to follow Jesus? No. If anybody's ever told you, well, if you become a Christian, all of your troubles are over and it's just going to be one bed of roses from here on out. When you go to follow Jesus, you're going to hit some storms out there on the lake. And I'm suggesting to you that the storms are a pop quiz. The storms are a test, a way of deepening your faith in God. It says here, a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. That's a bit of an understatement. You read the other Gospels, they are rowing, and in Mark it says they got to the point where they were straining at the oars. Well, so what? Well, the word actually means tortured. They were tortured. I don't know if you've gotten to the point where you've done some physical activity, and it is sheer torture to go on. It also says in the other Gospels that it was the fourth watch of the night. So Oh, so what? Fourth watch. Well, in the Roman military, from 3 o'clock, I mean, from 6 o'clock in the evening till 9 was the first watch. 9 till midnight was the second watch. Midnight till 3 was the third watch. The fourth watch was 3 in the morning till 6. Okay? They took off in the evening. Maybe they took off at 6 in the evening. They went clear until the fourth watch, which could have been 6 in the morning. They could have been rowing for 12 hours into a headwind, and we find out at that point in the other Gospels that they were in the middle of the lake. Okay? Because the wind was so strong against them that they'd only made it halfway. And I don't know with you, if you've been in that point with Jesus where you wanted to follow him, you're hitting a headwind, you can't make any headway in a headwind, and you've gotten to the point where moving forward is sheer torture, and you're still a long way from where you want to be. And meanwhile, Jesus is off on a mountaintop. Okay? And maybe you felt that way. I'm in the midst of a storm, I'm in the midst of a trial, I'm in the midst of a test, and it's sheer torture, my life is sheer torture, and Jesus is a long way away, and I'm praying, and he doesn't seem to be showing up in the middle of whatever I'm going through. Okay? That's where they were at this point. They're out there in the middle of the lake, and Jesus has given them this pop quiz. They've been tortured. It says, when they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, that's about halfway across the lake, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." They see Jesus approaching on the water. The word there, Greek word is epi. So what? Well, yeah, that means some people say, well, he was just hovering over the water, or he was actually walking on the shore and it was an optical illusion, or there was some, you know, kind of shallow rocks under the water and he knew where they were. The word on, epi, means on. His feet were touching the water. He was walking on the water just like it was a sidewalk. And their first reaction, it says in the other Gospels, Matthew in particular, they thought it was a ghost. And they were terrified. So, first they're tortured, now they're terrified. They're physically tortured, they're physically at the end of themselves, and now they are emotionally at the end of themselves. Do you think getting to the end of yourself is a good thing or a bad thing?
Both.
Okay. It's a bad thing because you get to that point. What's step one of, you know, got to the point where we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol and our wives had become unmanageable. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, my wife is actually in Germany right now. No. God is going to bring you to the end of yourself, and he's probably going to keep you in that position a good part of the time. Because if you're not at the end of yourself, you're likely to try to depend on yourself. And God wants us to depend on him. So the apostles at this point, they are at the end of themselves, both physically and emotionally. They're tortured and terrified. Jesus has showed up, and he says, "It is I. Don't be afraid." It's a bad translation. What he really says is, "I am. Don't be afraid." Now, what's that? What's I am? Who cares? I am. You know, I think, therefore I am. You know, what would that signify to those apostles, those disciples? If he stands up and goes, "I am," don't be afraid. Aaron?
Well, isn't that how God identified himself to Moses?
That is the divine name. when Moses is at the burning bush, and he says, well, who shall I say sent me? The voice speaking out of the bush says these words. And this was things that the Jews considered so holy that they would not even say those words, and they would not even write them. They just write down YHWH, Yahweh. So when Jesus is saying this, what he's really saying is God, the great I Am, is here. There's no need for you to be afraid. Now, how would you react in that kind of a situation? You're out in the boat, and, you know, it's not Casper the friendly ghost, apparently, who's showing up. You're wiped out. You're at the end of yourself, and God shows up. Freak out?
Need a drink?
Look, I'll tell you, before I became a Christian, when Christians would show up in my life, because God sent a bunch of Christians into my life, it scared me to death. Because I knew God was chasing me. I knew God was out. But for me, it was like you'd think I'd seen a ghost. When somebody came up, I'd be hitchhiking. I did a lot of hitchhiking. Remember one time, I had a bottle, a half gallon of vodka, and hitchhiking from Berkeley down to Southern California, was just trying to see how many people I could get drunk on the way. This Tanqueray gin, just kind of heading on down. But you know, a Christian will pick you up every once in a while, and they'd say, you know, I'm a Christian. And for me, it was like, let me out of this car as fast as I can. The last thing I want to be with is some religious kook talking about Jesus. And now, lo and behold, all these years later, here I am. But for many people, when the solution shows up, we don't see the solution when it first shows up. In fact, we may think that the solution is something to be afraid of. God shows up and our reaction is, you know what, this is scary, I can't go there, I'm afraid. But then the voice of God speaks, don't be afraid. Some of you may have come here today and maybe the thought of Jesus Christ is a little scary to you. I don't want to get sucked into one of those cults, you know. But Jesus' first words are, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. I am here. I'm on your side. Now I'm going to switch to actually one of the other Gospels because this is not included in John. But in Matthew's account, it says at this point in the story, Peter speaks up. Peter is kind of the guy who somebody said has kind of foot and mouth disease. He says, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Yeah, come, he said. Jamie Jesus said that. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. This is supposedly the shortest prayer in the Bible, by the way. Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? So Peter sees this figure out there. They think it's a ghost. And then the Lord calls out, I am. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Peter says, hey, look, man, if it really is you, tell me to come out onto the water. Now that is about the most bizarre response you can imagine. For me, I mean, it's kind of strange. I would say something like, well, if it really is you, come on over a little closer so I can get a better look at you or something. But Peter says, I want to go out. I want to draw close to you. And I want to do the same kind of things that you're doing. Jesus doesn't say, forget it. He doesn't say, that's a dumb idea. Stay in the boat, man. I'm out. Okay. He says, I want you to step out of the boat. And what happens when Peter steps on the boat, out of the boat? Well, he starts, part one of the story, he starts walking on the water. One of the things, maybe the key point I want you to walk away with this morning, is that God may be calling you to step out of some boat. Maybe you've been in a place in your life that's your kind of your comfort zone. Or maybe you think, if I try this, it's impossible. But maybe God is calling you to step out of your comfort zone, to step out of the boat, to do those things that may have been impossible to you, that your mind might tell you is absolutely impossible. Maybe you've been struggling with addictions and you've gone through 47 programs. And you think it's impossible that I can ever beat this addiction. And God is saying, come, step out of the boat and you will be able to do things that were otherwise impossible. I will give you the power to walk on water, basically, to do that thing that is miraculous to you. Now what part two of the story, what problem does Peter run into? Okay, so he's cruising along just fine on the water. All of a sudden, he saw the wind, which is an interesting expression, probably saw the effects of the wind. He gets his eyes off Jesus and glug, glug, glug. Most of us, and I think particularly when I'm working with folks in recovery, they have their eyes on Jesus for a while, and then the wind and the waves start getting their attention. The circumstances of life start looking like a massive storm. You've come to church on Sunday morning, you've got your eyes on Jesus, but by Tuesday, the job thing, the health thing, the addiction thing, and suddenly your eyes are off Jesus and glug, glug. Does that make sense to anybody out there? Have you had a week where all of a sudden you had your eyes on Jesus, you were moving forward just fine, basically walking on water, going someplace you'd never gone before, and then all of a sudden something rattled you? Who was talking to me about a can of beer in the refrigerator kind of thing? It's from the roommate. All of a sudden, you know, you go with the roommates have put some beer in the refrigerator, and all of a sudden, whoa, it's easy to get your eyes off the Lord, and you begin to sink. Okay. Somebody asked, well, how far did Peter sink? And this guy, this was Ray Stedman, who used to be here, and he thought that all there was bubbles and a hand sticking up from the water, that Peter looked over here, and whoa, and there's just... He only has time to just go, Lord, save me, just three words. And the Lord does reach down. And in his grace, he pulls him back up, gets him in the boat. And he says here, this was the pop quiz. How did Peter do on the pop quiz?
Better than most.
Better than most. The question is, how many of us would have said, Lord, let me come to you on the water, and then actually have stepped out of the boat? There's some faith. Go on. Yeah. A lot of times, again, we limit God by what we consider to be possible. That God can only do what I can think of as a real possibility. And so pretty soon you end up in a box canyon closed in. But God may have something that's way beyond your imagination for your life. And I consider, if my school teachers could see me up here, I had the record for time in elementary school in the principal's office, the least likely person to ever become a pastor. And there may be some of you here today that God has great plans for your life that are beyond what you can currently imagine, but you have to be willing to step out of the boat in faith. And I would encourage you, not maybe right now, but at some quiet time today, to sit down and say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And if you're calling me to step out of some boat and keep my eyes fixed on you, I am going to step out in faith and I am going to trust that you're going to bring me to a place that I've never been before. You of little faith, why did you doubt? The biggest enemy of faith is doubt. You remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, the first thing Satan said was, if you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. If. There's no if. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent said to Eve, did God really say, hath God said in the King James, are you sure you heard right? Is that what God really said, don't eat from this tree? But are you sure you heard right? And you begin to doubt. If you get to the point where you are walking in faith and doubts are creeping into your mind, where do you think those are coming from? You are at that point in a spiritual battle. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you're in the army now. Many of you here today are former U.S. military or maybe even active for all I know. You know what it's like to be a soldier. Well, you're a soldier and you're not in boot camp. God wants to send you out into a battle. And when you enter into that battle, you're going to start to experience the attacks of the enemy. You're going to start experiencing attacks of the evil one. And it says in Ephesians, pick up the shield of faith that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. When you start experiencing doubts, your shield is going down. And the darts start coming through. The attacks, these fiery flaming arrows start zinging you. You need to go back and pick up the shield of faith. How do you do that? How do you pick up the shield of faith, by the way? I mean, let's say you're in the midst of a storm. You're in the midst of the crisis. The beer staring at you from your roommate's refrigerator. How do you get back to the point where your eyes are refocused on Jesus? I would highly suggest to you, every time when Jesus is tempted by Satan, he quotes the Word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. If you are in a place where you are under attack, go get your Bible to start with. Also, call someone. If you've got somebody who is your sponsor, if you've got somebody here at church, Satan loves to pick off the little sheep that have gotten away from the flock. If you've gotten away from the flock, those wolves are going to chew you up and spit you out for breakfast. Turn to the Word of God. Turn to brothers and sisters in Christ. And the last thing most people feel like doing, we were talking this morning, if you're being tempted and you're having doubts, the last thing you want to do is call somebody else. But do it. Do it. Okay. All right, so it looks like there were some mixed reactions about how he did on the test. Well, he didn't die. And he did start off well. And some of us, I think, start off the test fairly well and then get partway through and then crash and burn. But God pulls him back. Yeah, go ahead, Lee. Yeah, somebody, I'm talking a lot and I see some people stretching and yawning. I don't want that to happen. Somebody says a preacher is a person who talks in other people's sleep. Yeah, Lee. Your other thoughts on that? Yeah, Chris?
I also think that, like what you were just saying, when he did have feelings of doubt, he picked up the phone and called. He called God.
Yeah.
God reached out.
Absolutely. Yeah. He didn't just kind of look off at the wind of the waves, sink, and die. I mean, he knew where to turn when he was sinking. Absolutely. And again, I'm trying to urge all of you, and I say this to myself as well, there may be something that God's calling you to do. And take Lane's exhortation and get out of that boat. Yeah, Kevin, you had a hand up?
Word of encouragement. Calvin Smith used to be the pastor down here at AME Zion. And he said one thing one time that 20 years ago, still with me today. He says, Satan does not waste any of his energy on the member of the Lord's army that is sitting around the campfire eating their pork and beans. He's already got them. He focuses all of his attention on the members of the Lord's army that are polishing their cannon and sharpening their swords. If you're under attack, it's because you're doing the right thing. Keep it up.
Yeah. And I can, what's the guy from the men's warehouse? I guarantee it. If you're seeking to live your life for Jesus Christ, you can expect attacks. But the other side is, this is God's test to try and deepen your faith. Satan's intending it for evil, but God can use anything for good. There were some other hands up here. Yeah, Rick? Somehow remind me of a bumper sticker, lead me not into temptation, I can find my way myself. Yeah, let me get Aaron, I'll get you next, Mark, back there.
I think this whole event is real symbolic of my modern day walk with Jesus. You know, I didn't turn to Jesus until my life got really desperate.
Yep.
Like the fellas in the boat, you know, they were at the end. For me, it was prison. You know, and then I found a place that was, you know, here at R&R, and it was like Jesus saying, come on, you know, come out here and join me. And I was willing to step out of the boat.
Yeah.
But I wasn't willing to get into the work. So it was kind of like a sinking feeling. And then I got invited to a discipleship. You know, once I got into the discipleship and started to learn how to get into the word, you know, I got to be raised back up again. So it's real symbolic of what my experience and my walk with Christ is like today.
Yeah, and kind of where I'm trying to push is, how does this apply to us? Is this just a story for them? There's application here. Is it? I can't. My eyes aren't that good. Is it Mark?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark. Yeah. He knew where to turn. Yeah, there was one of the men in the Bible, he cries out, I believe, help me in my unbelief. I believe, deep down I believe, but there are areas in which I'm still struggling. And one of Kevin's things he always talks about, the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. And so we've got our, at least we know where to turn when we're in the midst of struggles. Yeah, Joe, you had a hand up? Yeah, and again, it isn't like Jesus suddenly goes, well, you doubted, so I guess you're going to die. You're going down, Peter, I can't forgive. When he calls out, when Peter calls out, the Lord forgives. And for us, when we have lapses in faith, when we stumble, God's not here to beat you up and let you die. He wants to pull you back up, get you on your feet and moving forward. It's Satan that wants to keep you down. The Lord wants to get you moving. So if you've relapsed, for example, and you've confessed that to God, and you've called out, help me, He's not going to beat you up with that. He wants to get you moving forward again. Yes, Shannon? Yeah, I mean, a lot. Yeah, I think, and for a lot of us, we're basically proud. We think we can pull this thing off, and God keeps breaking us and breaking us and breaking us so that we do rely more on Him and realize, I can't do anything. It says in John, apart from me, you can do nothing. And in Philippians, it says, through Christ, you can do all things. So you can kind of either all or nothing. Yeah, Greg? Let me get Charles, and then I want to get to this last verse, and then turn it back to you guys for some personal application. Where do you think? How do you think this applies to you personally? But let me get Charles, look at the last verse, and then open it up for, is this just a bunch of theological stuff? or is God trying to speak to you about something today? Yeah,
yeah,
Charles?
The last verse, what I see is that God is telling us that negative belief is just as powerful as positive belief. So it depends on where your belief is, where you're going to go.
Whether you believe in yourself or believe in God or... Getting back to this last verse from John, it says, then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. He gets in the boat. Actually, the other gospels say things calm down. They worshiped him, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. This is part of the story, the miracle that people often overlook. They're sitting there, and we find from the other Gospels, they're worshiping him, and somehow, immediately, Jesus doesn't go, okay, I'm in the boat, now you guys start rowing again. We got another 3.5 miles to go. Come on, chop, chop. You know. But somehow, in their exhaustion and all of this, immediately, somehow, the boat, presto, changeo, is at Capernaum, the city where they were heading. God can do the same for you in the sense that sometimes I'm battling, and all of a sudden God just does some miraculous thing and the whole thing just is solved. This thing that I thought was going to be so hard, so difficult, that I had such a long way to go, God will have a solution come up that is amazing. Yeah. Okay, let me kind of fire this back for the last few minutes. How does any of this apply to anybody here today? I mean, has God been speaking to you in the midst of this in some way about stepping out of boats, trusting in him, sinking during the storms, God testing you and testing your faith? There's one guy way in the back, and then let me get the next guy who's a little closer. What was your name? James, go ahead. Yeah. It's great watching other people step out in faith, but I'm going to hang out here in the boat for a while longer. Even though by stepping out, that's where the real blessing is going to be. Somebody said, you know, a lot of people, they're kind of spectator Christians. It's like they're at a football game and they're watching these, you know, 22 guys down the field wearing themselves out, and they're just sitting in the stands eating the popcorn. And God wants you down on the field. Yeah. Okay, there was one, I don't know your name either. Was James? I got double James. James is back there. Go ahead, James. Yes. Yeah. You know, most of us, I say like Frank Sinatra singing, you know, I did it my way. And it's a pretty song, but there's a bad message. Okay, bad message. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Sergio.
Roller coaster
And I'll tell you, if you're calling out from an honest heart, Lord, save me. There have been times in my life the only thing I could say was help. And it was hard for me even to say that. But if that comes from an honest heart of faith, God will respond to that cry. If you're turning to Him genuinely, He is going to respond to you. Yeah, Lisa? Well, is there anybody else with an application kind of thing? I mean, is anything here spoken to you today? Or are you going to walk? Or, you know, what somebody said to you an hour from now, what did you learn at church today? Or what did you hear at church today? Or what did it mean to you? What would you say? Yeah, Robert?
You know, it's that part where when Peter started looking around and seeing the things he was surrounded by, his circumstances in his walk. Because he got on the book to walk with him. But when he started seeing the things around him,
yeah,
that's where we go wrong at times. When I'm looking at my immediate circumstances, I start reacting in the flesh, and I forget, and it takes me on another journey.
Yeah, and when that happens, you can't make your rent. The car breaks down, and then the dog dies. The circumstances of life are so intense that you get your eyes off of Jesus, and at that point you start sinking. Let me get the last couple, then we're going to turn it into an open microphone. Let me get Rick, Diego, and Joe, and then we're going to call it a morning.
Right. It really makes me think of one of the songs we sang, Draw Me Close to You, for me to try to get closer to Jesus, but mostly it's praying for Him to get closer to me.
Yeah, Diego?
Yeah,
talk loud so those guys can hear you way back.
Actually, the one that I've been going through is that if I don't take that risk, like he took that risk of going out there, and he says, well, at least let me take this risk.
Yeah.
And he took that risk in going out there, because there's a lot of times in my life where I didn't take that risk, and you know what? It just went south.
Yeah, I think that's what James was saying back there. You know you should take the risk, but you stay in the boat.
Yeah.
Okay, last comment, Joe. Yeah, go ahead.
Jesus was simplifying, all you have to do in life is be 100% dependent on me. That's it.
Don't Absolutely.
Don't take away from it. Even the miracle when he's really close to the shore now. All you have to do is seek me, be 100% dependent on me all the time. I am on Jesus Christ, the Alpha, the Omega. That's it.
Yeah, and that sense of, Lord, I want to depend on you, and I am going to go wherever you are calling me.
Yeah.
Hands keep going up. Let me get Jenny. And, yeah. A lot of us are prone. We get on the wrong train of thought. Even though we know it's bridge out ahead, we just ride that train until it crashes. But anyway, we want some time for sharing. So, Bruce, why don't you come on up and have some time for sharing.
Thank you.